to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
It's hard to believe that the major season is over, and now the playoff season will begin. Welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupker, and I'm here with St. Louis golf icon Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, what a finish to our 99th PGA Championship.
It certainly was. I thought it was a fascinating day. As you went into Sunday, you wondered a couple of things: how the golf course would play, what kind of numbers were they going to be able to shoot, how was that finishing stretch going to be on Sunday, as opposed to what we saw on Saturday night with all the disasters. And you got the feeling going in, Bob, that there were two young men that are stars already in the game that might get their first major, Hideki Matsuyama and Justin Thomas, two of them paired together, and JT got the best on Sunday.
You know, so much I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to have to try and squeeze it in, because first off, I need your impression on the golf course itself. I got the feeling that it was really the first major of the year. I know what the Masters intends to do with the back nine. They want the birdies. They want the eagles. The U.S. Open certainly was not a U.S. Open test. And then Royal Birkdale making it easier on Saturday for the players. But Quail Hollow, to me, that was an examination.
We talked Sunday, Bob, you and I, about this golf course being at the right time and playing almost like a U.S. Open at times. I think maybe it played a little easier on Sunday. Maybe it was just right on Sunday where guys could shoot 67 or 68, but I really enjoyed it. You know how much I love that place. And leading into it, I was so curious to see how a golf course that we'd come to know as a PGA Tour stop in the spring would handle being a major championship. And I think it got rave reviews.
Well, we're going to be talking a little later on in the Grill Room to the man that makes it happen, by the name of Johnny Harris. He's legendary in the city of Charlotte. Conservative estimates have him owning half of Charlotte. Probably more realistically, he owns three quarters of Charlotte. So if he wants anything done in the Charlotte area, man, he gets it done. And what a job they did getting it ready. It was absolutely spectacular. And speaking of spectacular, that's exactly what our winner was, Justin Thomas. Interesting that. Listen now, though, on as he tells us, Jay, how he felt.
I had just the most comforting, easygoing, and I really, truly felt like I was going to win. I mean, I remember, my girlfriend was supposed to fly out at about 7, and I was like, you know, you need to change your flight to later because I don't know, I just feel like I don't want you to miss this, and I feel like I'm going to get it done, and so I don't know. I just was very confident. I mean, I'm sure my dad and Jimmy could tell you the same thing. I just didn't get flustered. I felt like I just kind of kept everything in front of me. I know how hard doubles are to make up out here, so I tried to avoid those and was able to make a lot of birdies, so it was great.
You know, Jay, the Jimmy he's referring to, Jimmy Johnson, who played on the South African tour, very accomplished player in his own right, certainly in the top three or top two caddies on the PGA Tour, very calming influence and exactly what somebody would need when they're trying to win their first major.
Just as his buddy works so well with Michael Griller, that being Jordan Spieth, you see that, and both of us have a ton of respect for Jimmy. He knows the game, how to play it, and how to work with guys, and he seems to have a tremendous relationship with JT. And you heard Justin Thomas talk about doubles, and those are something you have to avoid. And he made a huge, huge bogey save on number one, a bogey save, which it almost was a momentum boost for him. He made two big putts on the first two holes And it really, he talked about the calming effect. You make two big putts early, it'll calm you down.
Well said there, Jay. And, of course, added significance is the fact that Justin Thomas, the son of a PGA professional, the grandson of a PGA professional, actually the eighth player in PGA history to win, having a father as a PGA club pro. And he talks about exactly how significant that win was for his family.
It was something that, I mean, obviously as a kid growing up, being a golf fan, you want to win all the majors, you want to win any major. And for me, I mean, the PGA was definitely had a special place in my heart, and maybe a special drive, I guess you could say. Like I said, I want to win every tournament I play, and I want to try to win every major. But at the end of the day, this was really cool for me to be my first one and have my dad here. And I know Grandpa was watching at home. I was able to talk to him, and that was pretty cool. It's just a great win for the family, and it's a moment we'll never forget, all of us.
And Jay, speaking of family, the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Well, we have a new member. That's right. The winner of our Pick the Winner of the PGA Championship is Claude Bowen. His entry arrived at 8:51 on Championship Sunday, so congratulations to Claude Bowen. Claude, you won a Vertical Groove driver, and Janice will be in touch.
And Claude, you are a lucky man, because just so you know, the vertical grooves on the face of the club you're getting produce a tighter dispersion, less spin, and greater distance. Less spin, more distance. That's only a good thing. I'm enjoying it with the club in my bag. I love getting to the tee and having my vertical groove driver, the new face of golf. For those of you who weren't lucky enough to win, you can custom order yours. You can make it to your specs. They ship it out to you in this unbelievable packaging with a bag tag and a towel. It's wild. It's all at vertgolf.com. That's vertgolf.com, where you can customize that driver, as I did, as Claude's going to do. Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
Well, it's helping a lot of people hit it further and straighter, two pretty good things. And, you know, interesting to note, and this is another area that, as I alluded to, that I wanted to get your opinion. You know, it's a big happy family out there. You saw all the guys that hung around to congratulate Thomas, you know, the likes of Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Bud Cauley. But, you know, in years back, and you and I witnessed it firsthand, you wouldn't see that in years past. And I think one of the reasons, and maybe I'm crazy, but this is my thought, you know, back then, you know, money was a big issue. So if somebody didn't win, they really weren't interested in hanging around and congratulating the guy that did win, because, you know, they lost out on all the money that they probably needed. Whereas nowadays, Jay, you know, money's not an issue.
A lot of those high fives and handshakes, Bob, came at the following tour stop on a Tuesday or Wednesday. You're exactly right. Guys were worried about how they were going to get to the next spot. No, Arnold wasn't there to pat Jack on the back, or, you know, the Mary Mex wasn't standing out there rooting for Johnny Miller. But it's interesting. I think it's part of this whole new society. I don't know, you know, they make so much money so young, Bob, some of these guys. And, you know, they've been tigerized in terms of the way they approach the game and come out and believe they can win at a young age. So, and I also think another thing, Bob, you remember how there used to be a little more intimidation in this game. Guys wouldn't talk to you, especially if you were young. I mean, it's all changed. And I think it's changed for the good. I miss some of the stuff sometimes, but, you know, when you see that picture of him walking off the green, and there's Ricky and there's Jordan Spieth, and, you know, Ricky's taking a Snapchat of Tiger and Justin with holding the trophy and going 14-1-0. It's kind of cool. And I think it's good for the young people in the game.
No, I agree with you there, Jay. And, of course, we both know firsthand Tiger had a rather different approach. When he arrived at the golf club, it was all business. He went about to walk up and down the range and see if everybody had a good night's sleep. And after he got his trophy, he was out of there as quick as possible. But in so many aspects, what we're witnessing now, Jay, as you accurately said, is really refreshing. And I think we're going to see that for years to come.
By the way, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network. And remember to follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
One guy that we have to mention, Kevin Kisner, you know, slept on the early lead, slept on the 54-hole lead. Never easy in a major championship to go wire to wire, but he certainly showed a lot of grit. Well documented that I'm close personal friends with his caddy, Dwayne Bach, who, by the way, just to remind listeners how good a player Dwayne Bach was, he won the North-South Amateur, which is one of the more prestigious amateur events in the country. Congratulations to Dwayne Bach and Kevin Kisner. And Kevin had this to say.
Oh, yeah, it's fun trying to compete. It's fun to see what you can do. There's only a certain number of people in the world to get that opportunity, and that's why we're out here. I didn't make the putts that I've been making the first 2 days over the weekend. A lot of misses inside of 10 feet, and at some point, the link's going to catch up with me, and guys that hit it 30 by me have an advantage if I'm not making the putts inside of 10 feet.
He's got a realistic attitude, Jay.
Well, and a learning experience for him, being on the lead and in the final group. He'll benefit from this. He seems like he's got a fantastic golf swing. He's got a lot of confidence. It wasn't like he blew up. He just, as you heard him say, didn't make the putts. I think this, in the end, may be a really good day for Kevin Kisner when he steps back and takes a long look at it.
And it was almost the fantasy land on steroids for Chris Stroud, who won the week before the Barracuda Championship in a three-man playoff just to be eligible for the PGA Championship. And, boy, he hung tough. But in the end, you know, it wasn't his day. But, boy, he had some ride.
Well, certainly, and you talk about confidence. I mean, off his first victory, and taking it there and hanging till pretty much the end. I mean, pretty much until Justin took over the golf tournament. Big props to him, Louis Oosthuizen. A lot of people thought he might be the guy on Sunday because he was one of the only guys really in the top 20 almost to have a major, and he tried, but he couldn't get there. I had a feeling out of the grouping of Patrick Reed and Gary Woodland, Bob, they were both at 2 under par going into the final day. Length at that golf course, if you get a long hitting driver who has a good driving day, they can prove to have a big day. And that's what Patrick did in the final day for him.
No, he really did. And it's kind of surprising. We watched him in Ryder Cup. It looked like he'd never lose another golf tournament after staring Rory McIlroy down in one of the infamous matches of all time in Ryder Cup history. But I think Patrick Reed's day will come. I'm starting to get a little concerned about Ricky Fowler. You know, it was a couple of years back. He finished in the top five in all four of the majors, but still hadn't sealed the deal. But he's young, and he certainly has a lot of talent.
And this was a different scenario in a final round. He was one of the first guys to make that move where he birdied four in a row. He got that hot stretch going. And you thought for a moment, maybe if the guys in the back start sliding, which a couple of them did, but Justin Thomas did. I like seeing that from Ricky. I like seeing him make a move on Sunday, even though he didn't get there. I think next year is going to be a real telling year for him. I mean, if he doesn't get one next year, then that weight starts getting bigger and bigger. Just ask Sergio Garcia about not having a major on your back.
That's for sure. And we'd be remiss, Jay. Rory McIlroy, not his style to finish tied for 22nd. And just give a listen what he had to say right after that final round, which was a pretty good one. He shot 68, and this is what he said to the media.
Right now, I can feel my left rhomboid going into spasm. It's sort of the way it has been for the last few weeks. I've upped my practice over, you know, coming into this, these two events because I wanted to feel like I was in a good place in my game. But yeah, right now it's a tough one because I can go out there and I can play and I can shoot decent scores. But when I come off the course, you know, as I said, I feel this left rhomboid going to spasm. Inside my left arm goes numb. So I'm just, yeah, I don't know what to do. I've got this next week off to assess what I need to do going forward. I feel like I'm capable and playing well enough to give myself a chance in it. But at the same time, April's a long way away, and that's the next big thing on my radar.
I didn't even know I had a rhomboid.
I didn't either, but I don't even want to know how yours is, but I will say this.
Mine's old.
I will say this. I don't like that we're starting to see kind of continued health questions with Rory. That's a scary thing at a young age.
Yeah, and when you couple that with all the money that, 100 people would ever need, you don't know. I know he loves the game, and I'm confident that his passion for the game. And if he doesn't play the rest of this year, so be it. I certainly want to beat the Rory McIlroy drums along with you, Jay, as we approach next year's Masters when it's his opportunity to complete his Grand Slam.
Exactly, and one of those guys that has the chance, Phil Mickelson. Maybe Bones knew what he was doing jumping off that bag. Phil has really struggled. I thought he'd play well last week. He got off to a terrible start in the opening round. You wonder what the next couple of years are going to be like for Phil Mickelson. How much is he going to play? How much are we going to see him? And it's an interesting time. Not a good performance in the last two majors by Phil.
Well, I think you got genuine concerns about Phil Mickelson. He did look a little tired. It could have been just a bad week. We'll have to wait and see. I certainly would love to have him rev it up one time and make a serious run when we get to Shinnecock for the 2018 United States Open, and Phil gets his opportunity once again to complete that Grand Slam. Now, we have to talk about what happened with Jason Day on Saturday night. I don't know. I mean, the second shot that he opted to hit from behind a tree, through trees, over hedges, into gardens, I don't know what he was thinking, Jay. He could stay there for a month hitting golf ball after golf ball and never pull that shot off.
No, he sure couldn't, Bob. It was really a shocking mistake it's hard to comprehend for a lot of us. You don't know what was going through his head, what he was thinking. But, you know, he took himself right out of the championship. I think he would have had a really good shot going into that final round if he makes bogey on 18 and gets it in the clubhouse. I couldn't believe that he made that play. My phone was just going off left and right. What is he doing? What is he doing? And it was part of that wild last hour on us.
And you know what's amazing, Jay? His caddy, Colin Swofford, has been with him since he's 12 years old. And, rare reviews on the quality of caddy. I mean, if I saw the bag laying next to that tree and Colin heading to the clubhouse because he insisted that he didn't want Jason Day to try that shot, then I'd say, wow, that's a heck of a caddy. But to stand there and let him do it, I don't know. I'm sure next time I get an opportunity, if I'm in a suit of armor so he can't hurt me, I probably will ask Jason Day what he was thinking. Obviously, if he's got a dangerous weapon in his hand, I would not pose that question to Jason Day. But it certainly took him right out of the tournament. So Day went out of the tournament on Saturday, and Justin Thomas went into the top 10. He's ranked 6th now after his win.
Well, we've talked all about the PGA Championship, the man behind, the visionary, if you will, at Quail Hollow. Their president, Johnny Harris, had a chance to chat with Bob at the PGA Championship, and we'll hear that when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
I've been waiting a long time to catch up with this gentleman. He's Johnny Harris. He's the president of Quail Hollow Club. But, Johnny, what a journey it's been since the days you used to come to this very ground, quail hunting with your brother, now the site of a major championship. What does it feel like to have a dream come true?
Well, it's exciting for all of us here at Quail Hollow to have this championship here, and also for the people of North Carolina and Charlotte. All over the city, there's excitement. There's a happiness, there are smiles, and everybody has enjoyed the week. And as we go forward, we look forward to ending up the day with a great champion and having a wonderful PGA event here in Charlotte.
You know what's amazing, Johnny, is the fact that the feedback from the PGA of America, it's no longer if we're going to come back to Quail Hollow, how soon can we get back here? I mean, and for a lot of reasons. I mean, the golf course speaks for itself, and I applaud you in your efforts to make it a test. A little disappointing in the majors this year. Augusta, I know you're a member, but they seem to like that theory of birdies on the backside. The U.S. Open fell into that trap with what we had at Erin Hills, the 72nd hole being the easiest hole on the golf course. And then the R&A at Royal Birkdale. On Saturday, the golf course, Johnny, played 138 yards shorter than the members play it. I mean, so, but now we have, this is a test. This is a true major.
Well, you're nice to say that. We, as you know, there's nobody better in the world than Kerry Hayat than setting up a golf course, and we knew that from the very beginning. And as you think about it, he always wanted to create a test that identified the best player in golf at this week, and I think we're going to do that.
You know, between us, it's interesting that you have a huge connection to Kevin Kisner. Kevin Kisner's caddy grew up in my hometown on Long Island, played basketball for my brother. I played golf against his father 1,000 times, and now they have a golden opportunity to do something special. And I've just said on the air that if Kevin Kisner does win, it's got to be the first player ever to win that has a 93-year-old grandmother that lives in close proximity to the golf course.
That's exactly right. And I think it's fun for everybody. He's a wonderful kid, and he's got a steel trap. He's just got this intensity. It's funny. Curtis Strange was here earlier in the week, and I know Curtis very well, and I always remember that during that period when he won the two Opens, he had this unbelievable ability to focus and not let anything around him mess him up. And I think Kevin has got it going right now and got on his game face. But I will tell you that I have a special relationship with Hideki Matsuyama. I was in Asia when he won both Asian amateurs, and then came to Augusta, and we've had dinner at the amateur dinner each year. And I think Hideki could he's a really good player, and if he gets it going, he'll be hard to deal with. And Oosthuizen is, you know,
Yeah, Oosthuizen being the only one out of the top 15 going into the fourth and final round that has won a major. There was a rumor going around, maybe you can confirm this, that if Hideki does go on to victory next year at Belle Reve, the media dining is going to be nothing but sushi.
You know, I don't talk about what people eat at champions dinners. How about I just leave that alone? We had a great champions dinner here, though. Jimmy Walker did it. We had a lot of fun with Jimmy and the former champions.
Let me test your memory a little bit. My first encounter with Johnny Harris came several years ago when I showed up, and there was a young player that was eligible for the Wells Fargo. His name was Ty Tryon, and he was at the registration desk.
That's right.
And he was told, sorry, you can't get a courtesy car because you're not old enough. And one Johnny Harris just flipped his car keys and said, you drive my car this week. Do you remember that?
I want to tell you, we were going to give him my car, but then Felix Sabatis, one of our great members who's now a car dealer, had a Rolls Royce, and he gave it to him to drive all week. So he drove a Rolls Royce all week.
And the rest of the field had to drive a Mercedes,
which is terrible, isn't it? I mean, you know.
So that, if you want to know anything about Johnny Harris, you probably gained it from that story. A heart of gold, loves the city of Charlotte, passionate beyond belief about golf, and has created something here very, very special that's going to be here for years to come. Can't thank you enough for stopping by.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, what a super interview. What I always love is you can tell when Bob and a guest interact, and they both have great respect for each other. And Johnny Harris is a great part of this grand game, the Quail Hollow president, Mr. Johnny Harris. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll catch up on all the latest news from around the world of professional golf right after this.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. And Jay, a lot to talk about here in this segment, so why don't we get right after it and congratulate, first off, Stuart Sink has been named the recipient of the Payne Stewart Award. I think certainly justified, as you know, one of the real good guys out there.
Yeah, he had to grow up very quick in his life. At Georgia Tech, he had a child and was already married, and he's a smart guy. You don't go to Georgia Tech without having some smarts, and he's really done a fine job representing this game, and that's what this is all about. We both had the very fortunate opportunity to be around Payne Stewart and that type of individual. I'm sure it's a great honor for Stuart Sink.
Yeah, and he appreciates it. And he, you know, I can certainly guarantee you that if Payne Stewart was weighing in on the decision, he would be the first one to say that, hey, you've picked a good guy in Stuart Sink. I'm glad that he's getting the award that's named after me. Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, Jay, but the first part of the 2017-2018 tour schedule has been announced. 7 events between October 2nd to mid-November. Good golly. You know, I was told a long time ago, the older you get, the faster time goes. That's a true statement. I can guarantee you that.
talking about the wraparound season already. Seems like we just kicked off last year with Matsuyama and Justin Thomas playing great. You know, pretty much the same way. We've talked about it before. There'll be a lot of guys that may not play in some of these events, but there'll be a lot of guys that need to play in these events. So there's golf on, and, you know, the money's there, and it should be fun.
Yeah, and one of the real fun ones certainly will be in Las Vegas, that Shriners Hospital for Children open in Las Vegas. I guess I got to be truthful. If I could only cover one event, it might be that one in Las Vegas. What about the Tour Championship, Jay? It ends on September 24th, which really marks the end of the Tour season. But then the President's Cup is the following week. Man, oh, man, the top guys really don't get much opportunity to take some time off.
Bob, we talked about it last week on the show with the announcement coming of the Players' Championship moving back to March and the PGA Championship in May starting in 2019. You know, this is going to be interesting to see when they make an announcement on the 2019 schedule, because as you and I've talked about, we know football is still king. They'll have enough time once the British Open is concluded to have the FedEx Cup playoffs conclude before football. We'll see what happens. That's one thing that's still lurking.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with all the pieces that are falling in place. As you said, we have to see the final landscape that is selected. But from this juncture, certainly sounding good. And, you know, it's a big week this week. The Wyndham Championship at the Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro, North Carolina. It is the last event and last chance for anybody to get into the playoffs. You have to be in the top 125 on that FedEx Cup point list in order to make the playoffs. So for a lot of players, this is a huge week.
Oh, it's a gigantic week, no doubt about it. I mean, they're playing some of them. This is kind of the livelihood stage. Now, while they'll still get an opportunity to keep their tour card, this is the one way you can automatically do it, be in that top 125. So it's a big week, and then it moves on, Bob, as you know, to Boston, which ends on Monday, Labor Day, at the TPC Boston, the Dell Technologies Championship. Love that golf course. Love that venue. And then they're going to take a week off, which I kind of like, and I think is a good idea, because then it can build a little momentum for the final two.
All right, let's try and clarify this for our listeners, also for me. So the first event, Jay, there'll be 125 players. After that event, there'll be 100, and then they go to 70. And then after the BMW Championship, it's down to 30 that move on to Atlanta for the Tour Championship. Did I get it right?
You got it right. They all conclude at the Tour Championship presented by Coca-Cola, the top 30. And there are also different categories that guys can get in by being in that top 30 as it relates to major championships. So it's big to make the Tour Championship, no doubt, but it's also big to be in that top 30.
And an interesting part about that top 30, if you finish in the top five going into Atlanta and you win down in Atlanta, you automatically win the FedEx Cup with another cool $10 million coming your way.
Yeah, a lot of money, a lot of points, a lot of, you know, we were there at the inception when they created this, and I think they've done about as good as you can. Golf doesn't lend itself to playoffs. I mean, it just, you know, it's not necessarily that type of sport, but I think they've done a good enough job, and these are four signature events, and it's a good way to end kind of the season.
And right after that, we go to the President's Cup, this year being played at Liberty National, which looks out over the Statue of Liberty in New York. And boy, oh boy, when you look at the potential candidates, Jay, to play on both teams, it looks like two powerhouses.
It sure does. I mean, I think a lot of people initially were looking at that international team with Matsuyama, Day, Scott, Oosthuizen on their own and going, how the heck can we beat them? But when you look at the way Spieth won the British, you look at Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas off his win, Ricky, You got Patrick Reed, who we know thrives on team competitions. And I love seeing that name Charlie Hoffman on there right now for the President's Cup. I hope he makes it and plays well in the playoffs, because he'd be a great guy on the team.
I couldn't agree with you more there. And one pairing that I would like to see, just looking down, how about if you put Kisner and Patrick Reed together? I mean, that might be a fist fight on the first hole with the international team. You talk about two gritty players. Those guys would be ferocious.
They would certainly be ferocious. Now, I know, I'm pretty sure that Johnny Vegas is going to make that team too. So I don't know if this will be his first, but it's been nice to see kind of his resurgence in his game. And then the Canadian, Adam Hadwin. So it's nice to see a Canadian looks like might make the team.
Yeah, and you're right on the money there about Johnny Vegas. This will be the first time that he gets to compete on the international team. I know he's awfully proud about that, and you're right. His game came roaring back this year. I mean, you know, he wins the Canadian Open last year, and then he follows it up in defense of that title and wins it again. I mean, you know, the Canadian Open, a very huge event in its own right, just witnessed by the fact that Jack Nicklaus finished second several times but never did win it, and now we have Johnny Vegas not only winning it but defending his title. Quite an accomplishment.
Well, Bob, let's wrap up this edition of the Grill Room Golf Show with a little info for next year. We talked about the wraparound schedule starting in November. Where are the four major venues next year?
Well, of course, Augusta, the Masters, always played in the same location. But after that, it gets very, very interesting. The United States Open, going to be going out to Shinnecock on the end of Long Island. Fantastic golf course, one of the best in the country. And then we'll be going over to Scotland to play Carnoustie. And then to wrap up the season, I know we're going to a place dear to your heart, and it's going to be extra special in that St. Louis area. Tell us about Belrive.
Well, it's going to be great, and I just get the feeling that we couldn't have had a better winner this year who's going to promote the PGA for next year in Justin Thomas with his connections with the PGA of America. It'll be the 100th playing. You've got to think that most of the guys living that have won the Wanamaker Trophy will be here for the 100th edition. And I just think it's going to be real special. I know you got to meet some people that are involved with the St. Louis event next year. I can't wait. And I know where I'm taking you and Janice to dinner.
And what kind of test is it going to be, Jay?
That's going to be interesting, Bob. I think this is a great golf course, or a really good golf course. Great's an overused term. But these guys tear it up. And I shot 75 there not too long ago. And if I can shoot 75, that means they can shoot 55. So it's going to be very interesting. I think they might get to 14 or 15 under. This might be one of those majors, Bob, that doesn't remind us of a major.
Yeah, but don't forget, you shot 75 using a vertical groove driver. So that's why you shot that low score. Matter of fact, if you keep practicing, I'm gonna pay your entry into trying to qualify for the U.S. Open next year, and maybe you'll be playing at Shinnecock rather than you and I covering the U.S. Open there.
I doubt that very seriously, but I do love my vertical groove driver.
Everybody that gets a vertical groove driver, they say the same exact thing. They absolutely love it.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.